Lord, we thank you for your sweet presence, your sweet spirit. We thank you for the goodness that you show us and the grace you bestow upon us every day, Lord. Your amazing grace. Thank you, Lord. None of us deserve you. We don't deserve him. We're really not all that, are we? Even when we think we're doing well and we're that spiritual. You know, the only reason we become spiritual is because he makes us that way. It's not a performance thing. We can never equal God. No, but we are transformed into his image through the grace, through the working of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And there's a difference, isn't there? You know, Christianity isn't acting like God. It's not acting like Jesus. It's not acting like anything, really. Because acting means you're being a hypocrite. If you're just trying to act like a Christian, then you're a hypocrite. You see, we are to be transformed into his likeness. We are to become like him. We are to be born again. We are to become a new creation. And then this thing up here, this mind, has to be renewed in the knowledge of him. And the problem we have is lack of knowledge. We don't know what is true. And so we live in falsehood, thinking often that we're doing, even like a lot of people today, think they're doing God a favor by killing people. You know, they don't know God. And I'm sure they have good intentions. They want to do what they feel is right. And because they don't have the knowledge of the truth, they're believing lies. And they're following that other dude, you know. And he is destructive, and he is a thief. And a liar, absolutely. So the Lord is unveiling our eyes and revealing himself to us. He as the truth. And as you know what is true, then you will no longer live the lie. But the mind has to catch up to what takes place in the spirit, right? You have to be renewed in your thinking. You have to change your thinking through the Word of God, through prayer, and discovering the new creation. So have you ever heard it said, well, I was out of character when I did that? You know, really, it's your true identity is a son or daughter of God in Christ. But sometimes we live or act out, you know, the old identity, you know, because in some areas of our lives we have not been renewed. We have not come to a place where we have realized that that is not God's way. And so we have to be renewed through the washing of the water of the Word of God, the Word of God. The reason why so many Christians are defeated is because they don't know the truth. They don't know the Word of God. And God wants us to know what is true. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Yeah. Now, one of the reasons why I absolutely hate Halloween, yes, I said it, I hate Halloween, is because it exalts everything that is evil. It exalts death. And we are children of light in the Lord. And again, because of lack of knowledge, we often adopt customs and ways of this world just because other people do it. We assume it's innocent, it's harmless, there's no problem with it. But because we don't know what is true, we just kind of go along with what other people do. We often are victims of our environment. We assimilate into our culture in some ways where we shouldn't, you know. But one of the things that I really hate about Halloween is that it exalts fear. And hear this. This is why it is evil, because fear is the opposite of faith. And God has said, and I haven't counted, but I heard it said, there's 365 references in the Bible where God said, fear not. That's one for every day of the year. So there is a lot of references and a lot of places where God is saying, I don't want you to be afraid. And yet we submit ourselves or subject ourselves, should I say, to things that produce fear in us. You know, we watch that show, that horror flick or whatever, and now we can't sleep. You know, you can't sleep. Some kids can't even sleep with me. Some adults, too, can't sleep with the light off because they're traumatized or they're terrorized by fear. People have night tremors. They just are just scared. They're living in this spirit of fear. So if you open yourself to fear, it will come in. But again, fear is the opposite of faith. And faith is confidence in God. And I said this before, and I thought it was good, but someone once said that, you know, fear is faith in the devil. Fear is faith in the devil. And you know what the devil wants us to do? He wants us to put our faith in him. He wants us to believe that he is greater than God. Yeah. That's been his plan. Is to exalt evil, exalt his lies, exalt the untruths until people begin to believe that maybe the lie is actually true. You know, we've had people that have actually said they came to a place in their life where they actually thought Satan had greater power than God. Why? Because of what they had been feeding themselves. You are what you eat. What you're allowing through your eye gate, what you're listening to, what you meditate, think on, you know? I remember when I was a boy, I was terrorized by some spirit, you know, that used to show up. And I would be so terrorized by this thing that I would freeze. I couldn't move, you know? It actually told me its name was Master. It was my master. Yeah. And so folks didn't know at the time. They said, oh, you're just having a bad dream. I was seeing something come out of my closet. You know, I don't know if you remember that, Bruce, or not, but this thing used to paralyze me. And see, what fear does is just that. It paralyzes you. And this is why the enemy wants to get you and I into fear, even to exalt fear, to meditate, think on, entertain it. Because it will paralyze you. It will actually shut you down. And it will prevent you, hear me, from doing the will of God. Now, we know that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's the truth. That's what we need to think on, speak on, amen, dwell on. Is the fact that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And we need to quit feeding fear. We need to feed our faith. Because fear is also a form of doubt or unbelief. Is it not? Fear is me doubting that God can protect me or help me. Or rescue me, however you want to look at it. And I have to say no to this thing, that it's illegal for me as a child of God to live in fear. And if I'm living in fear, it means I'm, hear me, don't get upset with me, but it means I'm too full of myself. Yeah. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, when you're full of the love of God, there is no fear in that place. So fear is an indication that we need to go deeper into God and we need to get this stuff off of us. Amen? Because the devil cannot exist where he is. You know what? He can't cohabitate. If you're full of the Holy Spirit, there's no room for the devil. Amen? So God wants us to seek him, to draw near to him, to enter into that secret place with him of the Most High. There is a shadow, amen? There is the overshadowing of his wings over his people who seek his face. And there's a place of security. There's a place of confidence. A place where we can have great boldness. And a place where there is no fear of man. See, if we are fearful of man, we will not do the will of God either. The opinions of people are too great. And sometimes they are trumping what God wants to accomplish. So God says, fear not. Now, how many here would love to have a fearless life? Okay. Now, how many have ever heard it said that courage is not the absence of fear, but it's the mastery of fear? Sometimes, you know, you just need to take control of the situation, even though you may be a little fearful. Courage is me rising up above the fear and not allowing it to control me anymore. And the only way you're going to break the fear in your life is to do the opposite of what it's telling you to do. If God says to do something and fear rises up and says, oh, you're going to get rejected, you're going to get ridiculed, you're going to be, you know, persecuted, they're not going to like you anymore. What do? You do the opposite of that. Why? Because that's not God speaking. That's your adversary. Every time God has something for you to do, the adversary wants to step in there and stop you from doing it. And how does he do it? He does it through fear. So if you're struggling with fear, you need to get the victory over this fear, or it will continue to hold you down. It will continue to hold you back. It will continue to keep you in its bondage, in its claws. And again, quit entertaining these things that are exalting it. The reason why people worship Lucifer is because he has convinced them that he is God. Come on, you know. Whoever's the biggest and the greatest is the one we need to be worshiping, right? I'm not going to worship a God who's inferior. I want to worship the biggest God, amen? The Most High God. And if the devil can convince somebody that God is weak and that he's stronger, what do? They start worshiping him. So people perish for lack of knowledge. Isaiah 43:1 says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I'm going to go quickly. Isaiah 51:12. Who are you that you should be afraid of a man who will die? Psalms 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Psalms 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Psalms 46:1 and 2. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. John 14:27. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives to you. But let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. 1 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What does fear do? It chokes the life out of you. It's a paralyzer. Do you know, a lion knows how to use fear to paralyze its prey. All it needs to do is stun its prey for just a few seconds, so it can take the advantage over that. And so a lion often will let out a roar, and it will shock the prey for maybe just a few seconds, long enough so he can get his paws on him. And then once he gets his paw on the prey, the lion will roar again, and he'd say, boys, over here, ladies, and gentlemen, we're going to have a feast today. Do you understand that's what the devil does? He roars. He's like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He roars to terrorize, to paralyze with fear. And then he pounces. When we give in to fear, when we yield to fear, he takes advantage of you. And the next thing he does is he roars again and he says, come on, over here. We've got a victim. And that's why people end up becoming so shut down and shut in to themselves, is because they're really living in fear. And God wants you free. God wants you completely free of fear of man. Amen? Fear of judgment, fear of his wrath, fear of the future, fear of failure. So many things that we're fearful. We're fearful of what's going to happen with the economy. We're fearful about what's going to happen to Johnny when he grows up. You know, we're so fearful about what about my marriage? Is my marriage going to make? You know, do you understand that as we feed into fear, you're actually giving an invitation for the enemy to bring more of the tormentors into your situation? And so we need to rise up in faith. Faith is a confident belief that God is, that he's with me, he's for me, his word is true, his promises are true. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That God is with me, God is for me, he's not against me. My confidence can't be in my ability to overcome, but in God's ability to give me victory. It's not in my own strength, in my own willpower, not even in my own human courage. You know, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. There are people who are naturally, they've learned how to be courageous. Okay, but that's not the fruit of the Spirit. God has given us soundness of mind. He's given us self-control. He's given us the ability to, even though at times we may find ourselves fearful, it's not going to paralyze us. As a matter of fact, fear can be a positive force if you turn it around. There's been times I've been asked to do things or go into situations or speak before a group of people that spirit of fear tries to get on me and stop me from what I'm doing. You know what I do? I just look it right in the face and say, nope, not going there. And I'll just get right in the devil's face. Why? Because he knows that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. But you and I have to know that. We have to be convinced of that. If the Holy Spirit is in you, if Christ is in you, if you are born of His Spirit, you have been given authority as sons and daughters. And with that authority, the devil will also submit if you know that you have that authority. So we perish for lack of knowledge. Many Christians are defeated by the devil simply because they don't know who they are. And he's going to do everything he can to keep you out of the Bible, out of the Word. Keep you from the revelation of the true God, who God really is, not what you hear some preacher tell you. Come on, there's all kinds of presentations today of the gospel that are not the true gospel of Jesus Christ. You need to know what the Word says yourself. You got to get in this book, amen? How do you know what I'm telling you is true? Well, you should have, first of all, the witness of the Spirit, amen? But confirm it with the Word. Amos 3 in verse 4, interesting verse, one verse, Amos 3, verse 4. Will a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he has caught nothing? No, of course not, right? Unless he has prey in his sight. If he has the prey in his sight, then he will roar. And he terrifies the creature. And so it cannot move until he gets up to it. And when he's got it in his paws, again, he roars over it to invite others to partake with him. Now, the Lord here, who is the lion of the tribe of Judah, is threatening judgment on the children of Israel because of their rebellion and because they have their sins are so serious that God has to step in. Why? Because they are the people that were designated to represent Him in the earth. Do you understand? If you are in Christ, if you are a believer, a follower of Jesus, you are also designated to represent Him in the earth. And so God has to be severe about the sin problem. Why? Because when we sin willfully, we are giving people cause to blaspheme God. You understand that when we deliberately do things that we know God says is wrong, as His representatives, especially if we claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, we are misrepresenting Him and we are dishonoring God. I don't want to dishonor the Lord. I want to bring glory to Him. I want to bring honor to Him. I want people to know what our God, who He really is and how good He really is. And I want to live such a life that the world will see the reality that Jesus Christ is alive. He's risen, and He's risen in me. Amen? That I am a child of God. We should stand apart. You know, I'm not talking about clothing. I'm talking about in our character. The way that we live our lives, we should be separate. The world should look at us and say, now that is a Christian. It seems to me, I don't know about what you think here, but that the lines are being blurred these days. What does a real Christian look like anymore? How many real Christians are there? I mean, you can't even talk about Halloween, for example, without people getting all bent out of shape, Christians, and start attacking you for that. And it's a no-brainer that this holiday does not glorify the Lord. And the question we have to ask ourselves, does God approve of it? And if you say He does, then you're deluded. You're deceived. Why? Because it's against everything that God came to promote and to do. God came to heal. God came to save. God came to redeem. God came to bring new life. Amen? God came to bring resurrection from the dead. Not an exaltation of death. Death is our enemy. And so again, if we don't know what's true, we can live a lie, and it's very destructive. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Again, how does he devour his prey? He roars, and he gets you and I into fear. This is the problem, is that instead of looking to Jesus when the fear comes, we look at the fear. When a wolf comes in among the flock, the sheep aren't focusing on the wolf, folks. They start looking at the shepherd, say, help, because he's there to protect them. Amen? And the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus, gave his life for his sheep. He wants his sheep to live in freedom. He doesn't want us bound by fear, because fear is the opposite of faith, which is confidence in his love for us. You see, fear has torment. It's a miserable place to live, isn't it? But God's love is perfect love. It's complete love. And perfect, complete love casts out all fear. So the solution is not in me just trying harder. The solution is for me going deeper into God's heart, seeking His face, calling on the name of the Lord. The devil wants us to doubt God's word. What you believe to be true determines how you will live your life and ultimately who you serve. You can tell what people believe by the way they live. Yeah. What you believe will ultimately determine how you live your life and who, listen, you will end up serving. The reason the devil wants God's people in fear is because he knows we'll begin to compromise. We'll begin to bow down to the pressures of peers. We'll begin to bow down to political correctness. Come on. A lot of people, well, if the government says this is the way it's supposed to be, that's the way it's supposed to be. Even Christians are just following suit simply because they legalize something doesn't make it right. Come on. The world is not our standard, amen? We're in a different kingdom. We need to listen to the Lord. Fear is not to be our master. Whatever you fear, you will serve. I've used this before in the past, but I want to just... When I was a boy, I remember in school, there was this one young man who hardly ever got to eat his lunch. Because the other kids would come in there and bully him and take his lunch. They threatened him with bodily harm if he didn't give his lunch to him. See, that's what the devil does. He comes in and he will steal your lunch. He will rob from you if you bow down to him. If you believe that he can hurt you, if you believe that he can take your lunch or your blessing, he will. What you believe will ultimately determine how you live your life. If we believe that God is greater than the devil, then we will be about our Father's business in destroying the works of the devil. You see, God never called us to just hunker down and hold the fort. He says the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. We are to advance the kingdom of God. We do this in the authority that God gave us. Amen. Authority to take control of situations where the demonic is present. We can come in and we can plunder hell and populate heaven because we have been given the authority from God to do so. So the devil is trying to tell you, no, you can't. Nuh-uh, too big, too much, too far gone. Have you ever heard that word? There's been times I've heard that voice saying, America's just too far gone. Well, the Bible says it's all going to go south anyway, so eat, drink, and be merry. Come on. Why do you think God gave us authority on the earth? Why do you think God told us to go into the highways and the byways? I mean, why did he tell us to go into all the world and preach the gospel? Why? Because God knows there's fruit. There's a harvest. There's people there, amen, that don't know Jesus. And we'll leave the rest of it up to God. We just need to be about our Father's business. And we won't be about our Father's business as long as we are believing the lie that somehow the devil's in charge. Are you hearing me? He's not in charge. God is in charge. Jesus Christ says, I have all authority in heaven and earth. So go in my name. Do you know what happens? When the devil knows that you know who you are and the authority you have, they will tremble. They'll get out of your way. When Jesus shows up on the scene, the demons start acting up because Jesus knows who he is. Amen. He's the Son of God. But Jesus says, go in my stead. Go in my place. I'm backing you up. I'm giving you authority. Now go in my name. And as you go, preach and say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers, right? Cast out demons. Possess the land. Amen. Folks, we got to understand the authority God has given us and that the devil cannot stop the church of Jesus Christ. If we decide to say yes to God and no to self, obey the Lord and go, guess what? There's no stopping you because God has given you your marching orders and he has all authority in heaven, where and on earth. So the only weapon the devil has is fear. He uses deception. And one of those weapons is fear. To get us to believe that it's too much, it's too big, it's too powerful. That's why when and there's a manifestation of a demon, they act up and they try to get as ugly as possible to get you into fear. If you've ever witnessed this, is a real thing. We're in a real spiritual battle, folks. It's real, amen? It's not Hollywood. We're in a real spiritual battle. But the good news is that Jesus Christ has all authority, amen? He's overcome the devil, death, hell, and the devil, and the world. And he says, I'm going to be with you. If you go and you do what I say, I'm going to back it up. He will confirm his word with accompanying signs. Amen. And the sign is pointing to him. Amen. That's the sign. Romans 8:38. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities and powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. How many love that verse? We need to know that. We need to memorize it. And we need to stand on what God says. This is the truth. This is the reality. That these demons, these principalities, these powers cannot just walk shot over you. Why? Because Jesus says, you are in the palm of my Father's hand. Mm-hmm. Now, if you want to be, excuse the expression, be a knucklehead, like I've been a few times, and you want to open the door and let them in, now God's not responsible. Hello? If we open the door and let them in, well, that's our fault. God says, keep a hedge around you. Put on the armor every day. Keep yourself clean. Keep your mind clean. Think on things above where Christ is seated. Set your affections there. Because God says that I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. And these principalities, these powers, these rulers of wickedness, angels, principalities, nothing is able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The devil doesn't want you to believe that. He wants you to get up in the morning and think that somehow God left you all of a sudden. I woke up this morning and I didn't feel God. And the devil comes along, God's left you. You're on your own now. Ever heard that voice? And that flies in the face of faith. Faith says, no, I don't have to see it to believe it. I don't have to feel it to believe it. I believe what God says. He is the Word. He is the truth. And what He says is always true. In fact, it's not just partially true. It's always true what God says. So what we believe will determine how we live our lives. If we believe the Word of God, your life will demonstrate that. If you believe that greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world, then your life will demonstrate that. You will walk it with a confidence. You won't walk in intimidation and fear. You will be able to shut your light off at night when you have confidence in your God, in the protection of your God. How is it that even those who are persecuted, those who are tortured for Christ, you know, can rise up above it because of the grace of God that's greater? How is it that the disciples could rejoice that they were counted worthy to receive stripes for Jesus, to be flogged for the Lord? They actually rejoiced because God's grace is greater. Greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. Fear not, I have redeemed you. I've called you by thy name, you are mine. And when you walk through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. And through the fire, you shall not be burned. He didn't say if, he says when. I'll be with you. I'll be your confidence. I'll be your strength. There's no fear in God's love. But perfect love casts out all fear. 1 John 4:18. And I want to touch on one more thing today, and that's guilt. Guilt makes people fear what is to come. You know, but when those sins are pardoned, when your hearts are filled with the love of God, you know, you have nothing to dread in this world or in the world to come. Sometimes the reason why folks were in fear is because our hearts aren't right with God and we're full of ourselves. Yeah. If I'm fearful, I have to examine myself and say, okay, God, what have I opened up to? Or is there something I haven't dealt with here? You see, a lot of folks, they want to live their life their way, and then they want God to give them confidence. You understand? Confidence will come because you're in intimacy with Him. You're in relationship with Him. Because you walk in obedience to God, you have confidence with God. Do you want authority in your life? It comes through intimacy. It comes through communion with Him. It comes through a relationship with Him. The more that we are acquainted with Him and the more that we are in agreement with Him, the more He can entrust to us. Isn't that true? It's no different with our kids as they're growing up. You know, we give them a little responsibility, or we should, right? Don't give them too much, but give them a little responsibility. Oh, you've been a good kid. You've been faithful to take care of those chores here. You know, there's a reward for that. But not only that, I know I can trust you with more. And isn't it true that when we're kids, we're always like, I want to be an adult. I want to grow up.
Yeah.
So we try to act like adults when we're not. It's no different than Christians. They're trying to act like mature Christians when they're not. They try to pretend they're somebody when they're not. And if you try to pretend to be what you're not, you'll never become what you should become. So we all have to have a childlike attitude towards these things and say, I want to be honest with God, and I don't have it all together. And you know what? There's areas of fear in my life. There's areas of fear in my life that are keeping me from doing the will of God. If you're here today and you're dealing and you're struggling with fear in your life, God doesn't want you to walk out of here with that fear. If you are paralyzed by fear, if you are shut down by fear, God does not want you to walk out of here that way. God wants you to get to be free from it. Amen? And He wants you to stay free. He wants you to walk in confidence in Him, faith in God, and God alone. When I'm putting confidence in myself, as the world is always telling you to do, just be confident in yourself. Self-esteem, self-confidence, they're telling you to do that. And that only goes so far. But Peter, who was a very self-confident man, who was an abrasive, rough, tough, you know, fisherman. And Peter was the outspoken one of the bunch, you know. He was so confident. And he thought, oh, man, I can do this Jesus stuff. I can do what Jesus told me to do. No problem. And Jesus just kind of said, oh, Peter, you're going to have to learn that what you think, you don't have what it takes to do what I'm telling you to do. Because you're coming up against forces that are much greater than you, much more powerful than you. And so you're going to have to come to the end of yourself. You're going to have to realize that you can't do it. Once you come to the place where you're dead to yourself and you can't, no, you can't do it, now you're ready to follow me. Now you'll walk in victory. Are you fearful? Are you dealing with fear? God wants you free. Yep. Lord, I just sense the anointing just now as I'm speaking this. This is a quickened word. God is speaking to us today. The best way to overcome fear is to abide in the commandment of God to love one another. To love. When you love, you can't be in fear. But I want you to take a moment, if you would, and just say, Holy Spirit, reveal to me the areas of fear in my life. I want to be free, and I'm coming to you today for deliverance from the spirit of fear, from every area of my life. Lord Jesus, if I have sinned against you, I ask you to forgive me. I plead your mercy. Wash away my sins and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Shed your love abroad in my heart, by your Holy Spirit. Spirit of fear, I command you, in the name of Jesus Christ, to get out. Get out of my life. Get out of my home. Out of my family. You are illegal. God has given me a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Greater is He that is in me than in He that is in the world. Hallelujah. Give the Lord praise. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.